Hey folks, how the hell are you? What's going on? How you doing? It's a fucking Monday. You already know. You know, this episode's coming a little late. We've been dealing with some things, all right? But what's going on, gang? How are you? I'm here at the house, at the crib. Got a little Starbucks in my cup. I'll yell about that later. You know, I'm very upset with Starbucks. But yeah, welcome to the fucking episode. As always, if you enjoy it, take a second. Leave us or take a screenshot, post it online on your fucking social media, tweet at us, holler at us. We appreciate the love, you know, and also leave a fucking 5-star rating on iTunes. We've been a little slow on the ratings lately. Let's fucking kick it up, you know, and I think that's it as far as announcements. We got a very special guest back on the pod.
Hey.
Fucking comedian, one of my closest friends. Just moved back to New York City.
Yeah, buddy.
Tamer Catan.
Thanks, bro. Always good to chop it up with you.
Yeah, you were. I think the only episode of you out is a Patreon episode that we did in your apartment in Venice.
That's right.
And yeah. It was called like horses sliding off the road or something. But
what?
We were talking about squirters, and somehow we got there.
So, that's amazing. Yeah, horses sliding off a road.
But you got here this morning. We've been hanging out all fucking day.
Had dumplings.
Yeah, we went boxing.
That's right.
You came over to my apartment. We made smoothies.
That's right.
How's my smoothie skill?
Dude, I've never been in a gay relationship before, but this is pretty close.
Yeah.
We worked out together. We made smoothies together, and then we had dim sum.
Yeah. We had some fucking dim sum,
and then
you know?
Petted corgis.
Yep. I got to walk those fuckers soon. But yeah, man, it's so good to have you back.
Dude,
I got to say.
Great to be back.
The last time I saw you, I think we were both in very stressful periods of our life.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was in LA. I was broke. I was taking like fucking meetings everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, and like, I remember my dad called me. He's like, "What the fuck are you doing?" He's like, "You're losing money. You're flying around." I was like, "I'm trying to build a fucking career, goddammit. Yeah. I'm taking these fucking." He's like,
"And you're right on the edge, too."
Yeah.
It's so trippy when in comedy, there's so many moments where you're running out of money. And then, but the potential for money is right there.
Yeah. I was like literally going to meet with like these fucking executives and these development people at all these huge companies.
Yeah.
But, you know, just to like start that relationship. And meanwhile, my fucking, you know, my dad's up my ass like, "You're fucking bleeding money here. What are you doing?" I'm like, I'm trying, motherfucker, you know.
It's so crazy to be like simultaneously so excited.
Yeah.
And then have your parents remind you of fear.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, "God damn it," you know. But that's the reality of it. It is. It's like gambling in a casino with just a few chips left.
Right.
You know, and you're going, "I could win this next hand."
Yeah.
let me put it all in.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's I would hope that it's better odds than that. I would hope
it is
at least the dealer's like, "All right, I loaded the deck."
Well,
you know?
The chips are like basically our heart.
Yeah.
and like our happiness, our joy, like all that stuff. So the chips are heavier.
Yeah.
Not as many of them, but they're heavy.
Well, I think if you want to do anything where you know, it's something off the beaten path or it's something difficult. Yeah. The only way is by going so fucking all in that even your family is going, "What the fuck are you doing?"
100%. Dude.
Like that has to be the way to do it.
I think especially immigrant families.
Yeah.
Because like when you move from one country to another, you're like living without a safety net.
Yeah.
So I think parents, especially immigrant parents, always want us to do the safest thing.
Right.
And we always want to do the thing that's best for us. And very rarely is that one thing.
Yeah.
Very rarely is the thing that fulfills our dreams is also something that's safe.
Yeah.
It's never that way.
Something that always like, because, you know, people, I'm sure you get the same question all the time, is like, "What made you want to do comedy?" Or like, "What was the thing?" And I think a lot of it is people don't know what their passions are.
Yeah.
And I think that starts at a very early age. You have to like kind of encourage your child to like lean into something and experiment with stuff and find stuff they want to do and have a fucking passion for.
100%.
Because like when you have a real passion for something, it's usually not a choice.
Totally right.
Yeah, you're just like, "I'm just going to pursue that fucking thing."
Yeah.
You know?
When people ask me what makes you pick comedy or why did you pick comedy, it's the same as going up to like a husky and saying, what do you love? Snow."
Yeah.
It's like, I didn't pick comedy. It
feels good. Yeah.
It's my purpose.
I want to jump around in it.
Yeah. It's like kind of being like a it's the less dramatic version of a superhero. There's a series of events that happened.
Yeah.
One of them not being a radioactive spider biting me.
Right.
You know, but there's a series of events that happened, and I think there's a lot of very similar events that happened in comics' lives.
Yeah.
They kind of steer us in that direction, and then you find something, and you go, this feels like my purpose.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's the thing is, like, when I think about my kids, too, like, because I'm a father of three, and I just want...
Three animals?
Yeah. I just want my children to grow and care about something. I don't care what it is.
That's right.
But as long as, like, do whatever you want to do, but do it fucking well. If you're going to be a cop, be a fucking great cop. Or just whatever it is, you know, like, whatever the thing you want to do. If you're going to fucking paint or something, go all out. Clementine, baby, can you stop? Can you fucking stop?
He's eating his own foot.
Yeah, no, the Clementine was fucking ripping up that towel.
Oh.
Can you stop? Good girl. Good girl.
Clementine's a great name.
Yeah.
We're petting corgis.
We're petting corgis, baby. But, and also the last time, so I was stressed out like crazy last time I saw you. Yeah. You were like trying to decide whether to get out of your relationship or stay in it.
Yeah, it was heavy.
Yeah, and I remember we were having fucking, it was hard. It was like a vacation. We were having like man talk.
Totally, man.
You know?
Totally. And it's good. I think it's really healthy. You know, there's not a lot of guys I can have those kinds of conversations with. And I know, like, both of us are comics and kind of like the type of guys that people laugh with a lot. And it's not, there's very few people I can have those kinds of conversations with.
It feels like almost every time you and me talk, we end up in some kind of long, like, emotional, deep-winded journey of a conversation.
Dude, it's just that there's
me and you never talk and just, like, it's just about pussy and we hang up. Like, it's something's up when we call.
I can talk to strangers about pussy.
Yeah.
You know? But it's not like, you know, it's not, there's not a lot of people I can talk to about the things.
Me and you talk about the asshole.
Yeah.
We talk about the asshole.
Yeah. The real shit.
Yeah.
The real shit.
That's the title. But no, it's like, because I remember we were talking about that and like you were telling me, I don't know how in depth you want to go into this stuff.
Dude, I'm an open book.
Yeah. Because I remember like you were telling me about your relationship and you ever talking to somebody who you like, they're telling you their situation and they don't know what to do. And you hear the situation and you're just going, get out, like, get out of there. Like, this doesn't sound great at all. And it's, I feel like we are always the last ones to accept when we're in a bad situation that we need to get out of.
Yeah.
It takes everybody around us to go, yo, what the fuck are you doing? Like,
it's hard to tell, dude. Like, being in a relationship sometimes, it's like getting dressed without a mirror.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't know. You don't get, like, being in a relationship, sometimes love distorts the image.
Yeah.
You know, or like
every time.
So it's like you're staring in front of a funhouse mirror going, does this look good?
Yeah. Why does my dick look average today?
Yeah.
Oh, this is one of those long extensions. Okay, I see. Fuck. Damn it.
Even in a funhouse mirror. Egypt's in Africa.
Yeah, yeah.
It took me 3 minutes on your podcast to talk about my penis.
Yeah. Well, that's longer than usual, you know? It's good. Now, you got a big hog on you.
Sure.
We just want to get that word out.
Thanks.
It's just our sponsor is just your big hog. So
I love that he used, I'm an Arab Jew, and he used pig to describe my penis.
Hell of a pork on this guy, let me tell you. It's halal. It is what it is. Check him out.
I'm like Howard Stern. I've got a baby wiener.
What are you talking about?
A pig's tail. It's curly.
Well, I'm a big grower. Are you a grower?
I think I'm pretty good. Even when not grown, I'm pretty good. Like, I do think I have a lot of like African features.
Yeah.
Like, even my lady told me that the other day. She goes,
she's like, you got the most African dick, I gotta tell you.
But I do, like, my nose is a little bit more African. I'm a lighter skinned person, but I'm Egyptian and Egypt is in Africa.
Yeah.
And I have an uncle.
Wait, you're Egyptian?
Yeah. You shut up. I know I talk about it a lot.
Stop the podcast.
But I mean, I have an uncle who's as dark as Wesley Snipes.
Yeah.
And then I have an aunt who's got red hair and
who
green
is
eyes.
Wesley Snipes.
Who is Wesley Snipes. Yeah. So it's
you
like Egypt's
Aunt
big
Wesley.
Aunt what?
Aunt Wesley.
Like Aunt Wesley. Yeah. Aunt.
What? That's how
aunt
I say it.
Aunt Wesley.
You don't say, you say
dude,
aunt?
You, that's the North Carolina come. That's like ladies with big hats at a horse race.
Well,
my aunt.
Well, I didn't have any like aunts or uncles growing up, but I grew up, like, basically I was raised by my black friend and his family.
Oh, wow.
So his like Aunt Luana and all them, those are like my aunt. Like,
oh
those,
my God, you're like Steve Martin. You were born a poor black child.
Yeah. Like, literally, like, I remember, I'll never forget Aunt Luana. Donna and like that's fucking rad. all of the uncles and everything. But write in, folks. Is it aunt or aunt? I think it's aunt. It sounds so much better. Aunt it's sounds regional. Fucking stupid.
I know aunt sounds like an insect, but I think it's regional.
Yeah.
Right? Because we were on opposite coast growing up, so there's some regionality to it. It's weird.
Well,
how
you were fucking
like
Hollywood
that.
High School. And
Hollywood High.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was such a weird place to go to high school.
I remember, like, I don't know if I've ever told this story on the pod, but like, I remember learning really that we do talk differently, white folks and black folks. And like, because I would spend all this time with this black family. It's like it was like essentially I spent more time with them than my own fucking parents.
Yeah.
And, you know, my best friend was their kid. So we hung out all fucking day together. We were, you know, great friends. And then, I remember one time, like all their like aunts and uncles were over. They ordered like 20 pizzas for the house. And as a joke, I mean, I must have been like 10. They said to me, like, Lev, you got this one? Like, are you paying the bill?
Uh-huh.
And I went, man, I ain't got nothing. And immediately, like, you could hear the music stop. And his mom said to me, okay, listen, don't talk like that because your parents will not let you back over here.
Oh, I thought they were going to laugh. That's cool, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's cool.
It was really funny. But, like, you know, and then, you know, I say certain things that, like, have slang to them, but... It's always cool too when I'm hanging out with my black friends. I remember they'd be like, why are you cool? Like, you're not like most white people that I hang out with. And it's like, yeah, because I was raised by, like, for one, Russian parents are very much like black parents.
Yeah.
And then the other thing too is like, I was raised by you guys. Like, you know, it's I get it. Let's make fun of each other and have a good time.
100%.
Whereas with white people, it's always fucking stiff. You know.
Yeah.
The dogs are wrestling over here. But
oh, the guy's biting back.
Yeah, I hate all this this fucking, you know, I don't see color. We're all the same. And it's like, no, we sell it.
I think that's an insult.
Yeah.
To be like, I don't see color. Like, that's ridiculous. Of course you see color. There's beautiful things.
Yeah.
About race. That's the thing that bums me out right now is the way that we talk about race is we only talk about the negative aspects of race when there's a lot of beautiful things in our differences. Like, accent, for example, is something that happens when you want to be associated with a certain tribe.
Yeah.
You know, and then you start to say different words in different ways, and you could hear someone say pop instead of soda, and then you go, wait, are we from the same part of the country?
Well, that's why I'm South African.
It binds people. Yeah, or that, exactly.
Yeah.
I think that's nice. I think it's a compliment sometimes when, I mean, as long as it's authentic.
Right.
You know what I mean? But
dude, I want to date a girl with an accent.
Yeah, it's cool.
Like, I was like seeing this girl who was Australian, and like, real fucking Australian, you know what I mean? Like, but then I started thinking, I was like, I could see myself getting real tired of this.
Yeah.
Because I mock whatever my girlfriend sounds like.
Yeah.
Like, you know, she'll be like, I don't know if I want to go there tonight. I go, I don't know if I want to go there. Like, I'm just an asshole.
It's nasally a little bit.
Yeah. So, like, if a girl's like Australian and then I'm just going to fire back and it's like, that's got to be patronizing, you know? And she's like, what you want to do tonight? And I'm like, oh, no, what do you want to do tonight? Like, just fucking be an idiot.
Well, you know what's funny? If you look at the Australian accent and the Australian history, it's like these are people that were kicked out of England.
Yeah.
So they were probably like,
what is the history
of
Australia?
You didn't know this?
No.
That Australia was a prison state.
Right.
And the English sent English prisoners to Australia for punishment.
No shit.
So they basically like said, hey, you're bad. We're sending you to like
an island
version of Hawaii.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They're like fighting those fucking kangaroos.
Yeah, now they're all tan. But I can imagine historically all these British sounding people ended up in this land.
Yeah.
And they're going, fuck these Brits that sent us here. We don't want to sound like them anymore.
Yeah.
We don't want to act like them anymore.
We want to sound dumber.
Yeah. And then they created, and then they start talking like this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's
the worst Australian accent.
Yeah. I always say Australians sound like microwaved British people. Like there's a little wax running down.
Yeah. They sound like British people on meth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking.
Dude, I had a crazy thought about accents one time. I smoked weed with my one friend. And I told him that
you only had the one friend.
Well, one friend who smoked me out with like the celebrity grade weed.
Yeah,
like Snoop Dogg.
You're like,
grade
I smoked weed with my one and only friend.
I got really, really high, and I said I had this really trippy experience where, like, I'm Egyptian. I know what Egyptians look like.
Yeah,
I'd performed in Egypt during the revolution. And I saw all these Egyptian faces.
Yeah,
and then I went to England, and I saw Egyptians in England who looked different. And then I saw Egyptians in Sweden, and they looked different.
Yeah.
And then we were really stoned, and I'm like, you know when you work out and you do a certain thing, it changes your body. Like you can get a swimmer's body or a bicyclist
body. A runner's body.
Or a runner's body.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what if languages do that to your face?
Interesting.
Maybe the reason why French people look sexy is because in the French language, you make duck face all the time. You go, ooh. There's a lot of duck face in the French language.
Yeah.
And it's like,
this should be slang for a French. Who are you calling a duck face?
Yeah. For them, it's probably a food.
Yeah.
French people eat some crazy shit. I bet you duck face is on a menu.
Foie gras and all that shit. That's crazy.
It is crazy.
I think New York just made foie gras illegal.
Did they?
Yeah, I think
it's
so.
It's pretty gnarly.
Because they take a duck and they like force feed it, and then they also like put it in a room and call it a piece of shit.
And like, they explode its like its pancreas or its liver.
It's liver, yeah.
Liver.
And then they feed and then they serve you that. But they also like they're like they yell at the duck. They're like, "You're never gonna be anybody." Yeah. You know, they abuse it in every way. Not even just physically. They're like,
dude, it's some serial killer shit.
That's
that
crazy. Imagine the guy who came up with that. Yeah. Like, oh my God. That's always the thing. When you think of like shit like that, like who was the first person to start cooking frogs?
Yeah.
You know?
It's crazy.
Gross.
Well, it was probably a very hungry, very poor French person.
Yeah.
You know, there's a restaurant in LA called
French or Asian? I feel like when I think of frog legs.
Oh, frog leg? Frog legs I think are French originally.
Really?
But I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure they're French.
I always think of the Chinese when I think of a frog leg.
No, you know why I know that? Is because in Britain, one of the slangs they use when they refer to French people is they call them frogs.
Yeah. But I don't know if that's food. I think it's because it sounds like the language, it sounds like a croak or something.
I don't know.
We
I
need to read books, man. But I used to, listen, I grew
that's
up.
My favorite thing you said. We need to read books, man.
Yeah.
And man is the perfect punctuation.
Yeah. I grew up around Southern Chinese buffets. And I remember like when the buffets were really balling, like when it was a special event, they'd have frog legs, like fried legs and like chicken feet. This is shit like, yeah, I didn't go that hard, but
chicken
like
chicken feet.
I know.
God.
Apparently they're delicious, but I'm not interested in the chicken's foot.
Dude, if there was a duck, if they had a Stephen King for ducks,
yeah,
and this duck made movies, and he made horror movies, it would be about us.
Yeah.
It'd be like a horror movie about humans that capture this duck, put him in a basement, force feed him, and then eat his exploding organs.
It's so insane.
That's foie gras.
Yeah.
Foie gras is basically the movie Seven turned into a menu.
Yeah. What's in the box?
What's in the box?
My feet.
It's foie gras.
Yeah. I never watched that movie. I've seen clips, but
it's intense.
I'm not good with horror, man. I take that shit to bed with me. That's the problem.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. I can only watch horror movies during the day.
Like, dude, I'm alone in my apartment now, and when I'm like going to bed at night, when I'm alone, I'm like, I gotta be like, all right, you know, no one's gonna break in. I gotta like talk to myself about it. I'm like, everything's cool. No, there's not a monster in the corner. Are you nuts? And then I gotta like be like, all right, put on a fucking YouTube clip and go to sleep. You know,
it's funny that monsters always hang out in corners.
Yeah, they don't like the middle of a room.
No, they don't. They like they're very shy.
Yeah,
they're wallflowers. Most monsters are wallflowers.
Yeah, it's like a vampire is like, hey, are you gonna be asleep in the next 2 hours? I don't want to creep on you.
See, the last thing I want is a flamboyant ghost.
Yeah,
like that's in the middle of my
room.
What are you wearing?
Yeah, it's like shut up. You've been wearing the same fucking curtain for 100 years.
A gay ghost would be so brutal.
Yeah,
he'd be like, oh my God, you call those pants?
Ooh.
Just humiliating you all the time, yeah. Talking shit to you.
What else would a gay ghost be like? You just behind them, like, you call that a dick? Just as you're walking into the shower.
If you can, how do you know you like it if you haven't tried it?
Just while you're cooking eggs. But we ask ourselves that, anyways. I'm doing a bit now about how like I feel like almost all men should suck a dick before they die.
I remember you mentioning this, yeah.
Yeah.
Like you said, on your deathbed, you want to suck a dick.
Yeah, I'm going to do it on my deathbed. Just, you know, I'm not willing to try it early. I'm scared.
I get that, though. You know, it's like a...
Hang on, this fucking low battery thing is clicking. 1 second.
Okay.
Sorry, I just had to switch batteries. As I dropped my microphone, you went, oi!
I turned it into an Australian.
Yeah. Oh, what is that? You dropped your batteries.
Boy, crikey.
Yeah, have you ever had a gay experience?
No.
No?
No. I mean, I've had like,
what are you fucking homophobic or something?
Dude,
you never sucked a dick?
Dude, there's been times where I'm like, man, I've got a lot of gay friends and I'm like, if I could be gay, I'd give it a go.
Yeah.
But it's like I know what it must be like to be a gay person in the sense that I was born this way.
Yeah.
And like, I'm attracted to chicks. It's completely made my life difficult to be attracted to chicks.
That's hilarious.
But it's what I am. It's the way that I was wired.
Yeah.
But I love my gay friends. I have tons of great relationships with my gay friends.
What do you have to say to this quote that says that you're actually very abusive to gay people here? I'm going to read this out.
Okay.
You just hear me unfolding paper. I think with, like, nowadays, it's only gay to suck a dick if you do it from the back.
What the
Like,
fuck?
We're getting so progressive.
Like a tail? Yeah. Like you're sucking on a tail?
You never had your dick sucked from the back?
No.
You gotta, like,
I don't think I want that, because it's less getting your dick sucked and more getting your butt head-butted.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd like that. Because it would feel like you're getting... Like you're getting rammed from behind.
Yeah, but if you're eating out a girl from behind, your eye is focused. You're making eye contact with an asshole.
I close my eyes.
Like a romantic. The real romantic.
You know what? One time I kept my eyes open the whole time I was going down a girl from behind, and when I was finished, I looked in the mirror and I was cross-eyed for like 2 days. For 2 days, my eyes just stuck.
Are you serious?
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm losing track of holes. Yeah, I'm actually surprised you've never had a gay experience, because you're always around like these model, like cokehead types, you know.
Every
time I hang out with you, you're like, oh yeah, that guy owns like an IKEA in fucking South LA or something. All these characters.
Dude, I grew up in Hollywood, so I grew up with lots of characters, you know, and lots of trippy people. But like, no, I'm surprised that you're surprised. Yeah, no, man.
Well, we're both sitting here surprised.
Women have been ripping my heart out for as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
I remember the first time, and ever since I was a kid, dude, I remember being in kindergarten.
Yeah.
And I used to eat sand.
Yeah.
And because this girl goes, I know, it's crazy, right? Do you know why I ate sand? Because this chick, I go, oh, the first time I did it by accident, and then I'm like, oh, there's this grinding sound, and this really cute girl put her ear on my cheek. So she could hear the sound of the sand grinding.
Yeah.
So I kept eating sand because the touch of her skin on my face turned me on so much.
Wow.
And I was like 5.
Yeah, you're willing to be a cat in order to have.
Dude, I was willing to like ruin my teeth.
Yeah.
Because I loved like just women ever since I was a kid.
Yeah, I remember. I wonder if it was the same with girls, like when they're in kindergarten or something. But I remember being in like first grade and kindergarten being like in love.
Yeah.
Like being like, I think it must have been like either kindergarten or first or second grade where like I told this girl, like, Rachel, just so you know, like, I am in love with you. Like, wow. To that level and being awkward. And she like turned and was like, what?
See, for me, it was weird.
Went back to filling in the fucking calendar cards. What?
Calendar cards?
Like, today is Tuesday. Like, you know, that's all you know is a kindergarten. Yeah. That's all you're fucking learning.
And you said, did she, how old was she? She was in kindergarten too?
Well, I was 28. She was, it's obviously the fucking same age.
Oh, okay. It wasn't like an assistant teacher or something.
Yeah, believe it or not, it didn't work out with me.
I always fell in love with my lady teachers.
Oh, me too.
Always.
Yeah. Oh, it's so hot. The idea of like, are you going to be staying after class, Tamara?
Yeah, it was rad. Because they were authoritarian a little bit. It was almost like adolescent S&M.
Yeah. But there was like a sexy line of like, totally. How far can I push it? Like,
yeah.
Or like, can I make a joke about this? Yeah. Or can I, you know? I would say crazy shit to my teachers all the time.
You know what's fun? I've never once in my thought, like, how come I wasn't gay? How come I didn't have a gay experience?
Yeah.
And it's funny because I think the reason why I didn't is kind of a non-sexual reason.
Why?
It's because I didn't have a lot of good male role models in my life.
Yeah.
All of my heroes were women. My mom was my hero. My grandmother was my hero. And I grew up at a time where there were a lot of female punk rock singers.
Yeah, your grandmother was my hero too.
She's dope, dude. Like, yeah. And I grew up with a dad that didn't like me. Like, my dad was like, if he was a woman, he was a woman without a motherly instinct. He was the male version of that.
He was Wendy Williams.
Wendy Williams. So even when it wasn't sexual, I preferred women. I liked the energy that women had. You know what I mean? I always thought that they were stronger.
I like feminine energy, too.
I
really do. I give women a lot of shit, but at the same time, like, it's nice, you know?
It is nice. It
smells nice here.
It's complimentary, man. They are the milk to our cookies.
The fabrics are soft.
Yeah.
And it smells warm, you know?
It's the opposite of us. Like, everything that's us they're complimentary to, and they make it better.
Yeah. We are just tearing each other down, making fun of each other, you know, whereas like with women, it's completely the other way.
Totally. Like, have you ever had just a peanut butter sandwich with no jelly?
No.
It's the worst. It tastes like an all-boys school.
Yeah.
Like, you need some jelly in it. Women make it better.
Yeah. That's true. And it also, like, I think, if I want to go out, I want to go out with my guy friends. But you're going out to meet women. And it's like yesterday, I was real sad last night. Yeah. And it was like the first time.
I didn't know that. You didn't tell me that.
Well, you know, I keep certain things from you to protect you. But, I was real sad last night. And I remember thinking, like, and I was hanging out with Erica Spera, and I remember, and I told her, I was like, man, I wish I had like a girlfriend. Like, I just want to be sad in bed, like next to somebody right now.
Yeah.
But she's like, what? I'm not enough for you. Like, yeah. I'm here, like, help, you know, because we were going to do a podcast, and then like shit came up.
Do you know what else I think now that I'm thinking about this is that women grow up with impossible physical standards, right? And I think I've said this before. All of my life, I grew up with a really macho dude who said, boys don't cry.
Yeah.
But women, they knew that it was okay to cry. And it's not human to not cry. It's not human to not be sad. But I think if you grew up with a macho dad, you feel like being sad is wrong.
Yeah.
And because other guys were infected with that same kind of bad advice, they kind of validate that bad education from our dads.
Right.
But women are the other way. Women are the ones telling us, no, it's okay. Be sad. Talk about your feelings. I think women in a lot of ways have always been really healthy. America did this, by the way.
Yeah.
During the Cold War, the American government sent mailers to people's homes saying, don't hug your boys.
Yeah.
Because we're in a Cold War with quote unquote cold people, and we want your boys to be strong. Don't hug your boys.
Yeah.
Can you talk about a government interfering? They basically said, your kids are not your kids, they're our soldiers.
Right.
That shit, you could Google that shit. That shit's real.
Well, here's the thing, but imagine it being the other way around, where you're raising your son. Your son's 4 or 5. Every time he falls over, he starts crying.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like myself, I'd be like, listen, stop fucking crying.
Sure, that's the other extreme. Yeah, for sure.
Be a man. Like, you're going to fall down sometimes. It is what it is, you know?
Yeah.
You get back up. You know, we get back on the horse.
Or even be a tough chick.
Yeah.
I know women that don't cry too. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, but it's right, dude. Yeah, but it's like nobody likes that.
Me and you were talking about that. Yeah, it's just like, no matter what you are, don't be a fucking crybaby. Yeah. You know, life is hard.
Yeah, and it's like, hard for all of us.
Me and you were talking about this. It's like, I'm trying to work on this new joke of like, especially like if you live in a city, you see it. It's like, especially with young guys, it's like, I like gay guys. I like straight guys. I don't like these like gay straight guys who will not suck a dick, but they will carry a tote bag. It's like, come on, man. Like, at least suck a dick so I can respect you. But instead you just walk around like judging me, like, yeah, I'm fucking, yeah.
Totally.
Everything is in that voice. And it's like, you got to earn that voice. You don't just get to have that voice.
Yeah, I feel like it's straight guys appropriating gay culture.
Yeah.
It's like, listen, if you're going to be a bird, don't be a pigeon.
Yeah.
If you're going to be gay, then fly.
Yes.
Fly. Don't walk around like appropriating gay culture. Like, either
is what it is. Yeah. And it's also my problem with those guys is they're always like male feminists and they're always like, no, I'm an ally and I am better than you. And I have and it's like, dude, you're just trying to fucking nice guy your way into some pussy.
That's the worst to me.
Everybody sees it. It's just gross. Oh, it's gross. I was talking to this girl the other night.
It's also a lie.
Yeah.
That's what it's a straight out lie. And I know from the women that I know, the number of times a guy has pretended to be an ally or pretended to be just a friend and ended up taking advantage of a person, that is a bigger...
That's the only way I've ever seen it happen.
That's a big. That's a bigger breach of trust than us like being, you know, hey, sorry, I'm not into you anymore.
Yeah. That's the thing. If we're hanging... Like, I was hanging out with like a very progressive, very fight, you know, feministy girl the other night. And like, you know, me being me, I just like started saying just wild shit, just like to have fun, you know?
Yeah.
And like, you know, we're just fucking around. But I was saying like all this like very like masculine, like kind of shit, like all this bullshit, you know? Yeah. And but I told her too, I was like, listen, like but she at the same time was like, I also hate these like fake ally guys. Like, nothing makes me drier than hearing this, like, I'm with you. Like, gross, dude. Any no guy genuinely wakes up in the morning and is like, today I'm gonna fight for women. It's like, you can't just trust that guy. Like, whereas like me, I might come off as a dick. Yeah. Not really, but like, you know, like sometimes I make fucking jokes and But at the same time, like, I'm never going to do something that's going to hurt you or take away your power or take away us not being equals. Because, you know, I don't think you should be celebrated for walking around going, yeah, we're equals. Like, no, that's just common fucking sense. Yeah. Anybody who wants to make an identity out of the fact that they believe in the right opinion is a fucking asshole.
100%. And here's the irony of that.
Yeah.
These guys that say, oh, I'm going to fight for women. That's one of the most misogynistic things you could fucking say.
Mm-hmm.
Because all the women I know are pretty fucking strong people.
Yeah.
And they don't need you, like coming in and pretending to be a hero.
Yeah.
It's not your fight. You can support women.
Right.
You could be there to support them. You could be there to, you know, in their corner in between rounds.
Yeah.
In that fight. But women are strong. In a lot of ways, they're stronger than we are. And, like, for a guy to say, oh, I'm going to fight for women. There's a lot of women that are like, it's not your fight.
Yeah.
Stay out of it. This is for us.
Yeah. And there's,
I get,
like,
that.
There's also, like, a lot of times, like, for example, like, here's the thing, like, sometimes people disagree with me because I'm like, you know, if you hear a story or something of, like, this guy, like, jerked off in front of this girl in his hotel room at 3 a.m. or something, right?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, on one hand, like, that guy shouldn't be putting somebody in a position where he has power above them or anything like that.
Are you talking about Louis?
Let's say, for example, a thing like Louis, okay, right?
It's pretty specific.
Yeah. And I couldn't think of another example. But the other end of me is like, I know my mom and what my mom would say and be like, well, why would you accept an invite to go up to this guy's hotel room at 3 a.m?
Yeah.
Do you just think that nothing is going to happen? Like, do you think he's not going to try to make a move, et cetera? And it's like,
yeah.
I never treat women like they're stupid or like they don't know how the real world works.
Yeah.
And I'm not to say that's not to, and I'm not saying, hey, if a guy, you know, invites you over, that means he's going to try to fuck you. So never hang out with a guy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's certain context if it's really late at night, you know, and also the way that my mom set an example was like, I would have never seen somebody like take advantage of my mom or like pull some shit on her, because she was fucking tough, man. She was strong. And
yeah,
that's not to say that if something does happen to you, it's not because you're it's because you're not stronger because of that. But it's like, there's also like, I'm not just going, hey, men do everything wrong and women are helpless and they're not in charge of themselves. It's like, yeah, no, I believe women are fucking powerful and like the same way that men are. It's,
yeah,
you know, granted.
And here's the thing about the women that I know, the majority of women that I know that work as hard as we work in this business,
mm-hmm,
that have a passion for this business and love their comedy,
yeah,
they don't want to win that way.
Yeah.
Right? And first of all, let me say this. That guy is 100% wrong. 100% wrong regardless of the situation.
Which guy are we talking about?
The guy that like uses his power as an excuse to jerk off in front of somebody, right?
Of course.
But a lot of people are like, oh, that girl didn't know. If the girl didn't know and she's genuinely surprised, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
It sucks that happened. But there's also another.
But I also don't want it to sound like I'm blaming the women here, because I'm not. What I'm saying is, it is not as simple as that guy's a fucking asshole,
yeah,
and she didn't know anything. It's like, no, there's complicated gray areas in between everything.
100%.
That's all I'm saying.
Dude, there's good and bad people in every race, and that means there's good and bad people in every gender.
Yeah.
And amongst females, there are some females that would go up to that guy's room, not thinking he was going to masturbate in front of them, but thinking, I can get an advantage in my career because of how good looking I am,
yeah,
because this guy wants me.
Yeah.
I'm going to use my level of attraction,
yeah,
as a way to get ahead in this business.
I've literally had women say to me before, this girl, she was like, oh, this guy is so disgusting. I'm about to go get dinner with him. And I said, oh, well, why are you getting dinner with him then? And she goes, because he's like really ahead and I'm going to try to fucking use him and like make him fall for me and see if I can push my career forward. And when she said that to me, I genuinely went, you know what? I really respect that. You're like, how open you are about being a piece of shit.
See, I don't respect
that. But I'm like, it was refreshing to me that she didn't pretend.
Is refreshing.
Yes,
the
she didn't pretend that it was something else.
Yeah. See, I think the honesty is refreshing. As a human being, I respect the punk rockness of the honesty. But as a person who's in an art form,
right,
and loves comedy, I think that's a bullshit way to get ahead in business. And I think those are the women that make other women look bad.
Yeah.
I think those are the women that people aren't talking about. The only scenario they're setting up is, oh, these women just didn't know.
And people seem to think these women just don't exist. And it's like, if you're a successful man, you start to realize these women are everywhere.
Sure.
And that's not to say that they're like a huge percentage of it, but like, there are a lot of people in the world, and when you start becoming successful and, you know, this thing pops or this thing hits, people will start approaching you like differently. It's very people will start throwing themselves at you. It's very different.
I know a lot of insanely funny women, And they are not, they would never do that.
Yeah.
They would never do that.
Yeah, of course not. Because
they believe in their comedy.
They know they'll make it regardless.
And they don't even want to make it another way.
Yeah.
So when people say shit like, oh, there's women aren't as funny. That's not true. Women are funny, but there's too many ugly dudes.
Yeah.
Elevating unfunny women.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
But is it fair? Like, is it? Does it make me stupid to be like, hey, listen, like, ladies, like, look, I'm on your side. I'm with you. You know, that guy shouldn't do fucked up shit, of course.
Yeah.
However, you also got to know if a guy invites you up to his hotel room at 2 a.m, it's probably not going to be for cheese and wine. You know, it's like,
yeah,
there's a context there. And
or
I,
at least.
Is that fair to say?
She should confront him. Listen,
because I would tell my daughter
wrong.
That.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd be like, listen, baby, like for your own safety and your own protection, like you got to know men are going to want to fuck you, especially at 2 a.m. So like, know that. Be aware of that. Be smart. Like, know that is always going to be.
And that doesn't mean that it's the woman's fault. It means that
of course
in real world, there is bad men.
Yeah.
And a lot of times. Here's the thing that's weird about our brains, right?
Yeah.
We don't have one brain. We have two. And our old brain with that old software, it didn't get deleted. It's still there.
Yeah.
Our caveman brain is still there.
Yeah.
Horniness is old wiring.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's like it turns us into, it's a man becoming a werewolf.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes when we get put in those situations, we're not saying that a good man wouldn't do that. We're saying that a bad man would.
Yeah.
And you should prepare for a bad man. Prepare for that. You should be aware of that, especially as an adult.
I feel
that
like
doesn't make it their fault,
right?
It's just saying, as women, we care for. We're absolutely gonna say
right
that because the world isn't fair.
Yeah, and I feel like that's what the only thing. Like, I feel like the reason I even talk and the reason I say anything is because like I'm always just trying to fight to let people know there's a gray area. No matter what the situation is, it's very rarely. Our situation is just this person did this fucking terrible thing. There's some of that in the world for sure.
Sure.
But a lot of times shit is complicated. There's more context to things.
Yeah.
Humans are so vastly complicated. And the 100%. One thing I always try to fight for is like, hey, you know, there is more to this than you might think there is. That's all I ever really fight for. But I feel like guys of my generation, like, for example, if I'm hanging out with a girl and like I'm expecting that we're going to have sex and then she's like, I'm not feeling it. Like, I'm like immediately I'm like, oh, yeah, cool. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, fuck it. Like,
I don't want to have sex with the other.
Exactly.
Sex with me. I would never.
The last thing I want is to be hooking up with somebody who does not want to be hooking up. To me, that's
100%.
Like just like that like makes me feel anxious. That's
totally.
Like scary.
Yeah.
So
I get turned on when a girl is turned on.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I don't understand the wiring in a guy who uses a woman like she's food.
Yeah, that to me is like where a guy where I'm immediately like, this guy's a piece of shit.
When
it's like it's not even about the, because sex is a together thing.
100%.
And I think that it really grosses me out when a guy looks at sex as like, it's just me enjoying you.
Yeah.
And I think that's dying off. I don't think that's as common as it is, but I think there are some sociopathic fucking dudes out there that
100%.
That's the way they look at sex.
Yeah.
And I think it's the minority, but
well,
it's
also,
out there.
It's also our fucking society. We don't realize that we are in a cult in America. And I didn't know it until I went to Sweden and I saw a Sylvester Stallone movie that was rated X.
Yeah.
And then I was tripped out, you know, and my Swedish friend started laughing at me. He goes, oh, yeah, we rate our movies by violence. You guys rate your movies by sex.
Yeah.
We'd rather have our kids see a man make love to a woman than see a man stab another man in the face.
Right, right.
And I was like, oh, my God, I didn't make up that decision. I didn't get to decide that.
Yeah.
That's just our culture here.
Yeah.
Our culture here treats sex like it's taboo.
Yeah.
And what do we know about being men? When you tell us not to do something, that's what we want to do.
Right.
It's literally in the Bible.
Yeah.
They told it, don't eat the apple. That's what the dude
but
wanted to do.
But eat that apple from the back.
Wanted to eat that apple.
Yeah.
So we treat sex like it's this taboo thing. And because we don't talk about it, there's a lot of people that do bad things.
Right.
It doesn't just take a village to raise a boy. It takes a village to raise a sexual predator.
Yeah.
There's like institutionalized sexism in our culture that we need to fucking fix. It's not just the drug user. It's the drug dealer. And the drug dealer in this country is our fucking government.
Well, I think like sexual predators, I think it generates from like some kind of like a sociopathic or like psychopathic place of like you have felt completely rejected and shunned out by the world.
Yeah.
And now you've become this like disgusting fucking animal. And that to me is just like the worst of society. Like to me, like a person that is truly a proven sexual assaulter, mm-hmm. that's like, there's no reason for you to walk this earth. Yeah. That's like, I have old school, like, you know, ways of thinking about that shit. And it's like,
I agree.
But even in like gangs and stuff, like in street violence, like if you're like, you know, a sexual assaulter, like they don't fuck with that shit. In prison, you'll get your fucking ass beat.
Yeah, they'll do prison version of justice on that person. And cops usually turn the other way.
Yeah, because I was just
Epstein
watching.
Most is the most recent example.
Right.
You know, cops, it wasn't just whoever plotted to kill him, whether it was the Clintons or some other political people or whoever. But I guarantee you there were cops that turned the other cheek.
Yeah, of course.
Looked away.
Because even at like a street violence and gang level, we all know still what's right and what's wrong. And it's like we are women gave birth to us and are, you know, we all have sisters and cousins. And like you can't, you know, like that's the thing is as much as like, you know, every once in a while somebody might go, oh, he's saying things that are sexist or this phobic, whatever. And it's like, no, like I don't care. Like, I'm for you for whoever you are. I don't give a shit. Yeah. And as the thing is, like, guys like me and you, at the end of the day, it's like you were just telling me a story today about you saw a guy put his arm around or, like, grab her arm.
He grabbed her arm, yeah.
Yeah, and you said to her, like, hey, no disrespect, but are you okay? And she said no. And it's like, me and you are always the first kind of guys who are going to step in and go, yo, what the fuck is going on here? Yeah. Like, you know, and that I think that is so much better instead than these fucking fake ally motherfuckers who, when it comes down to actually being there and helping, they're not going to fucking be there. And instead, they want to fake their way into some pussy or a blowjob. And it's like,
that's the worst.
Yeah, that to me is just disgusting. Yeah. You know,
it is. It's the worst. And I think it is our responsibility to, like, if you see someone that's in trouble like that. And I think even if it was a gay couple and somebody was being violent and aggressive to something, like I was abused.
No, your asshole's wider. Yeah. You know, classic argument.
But if somebody is bullying someone else, like the way I was raised, you know, because I was abused as a kid, I always looked up to the underdog. All my heroes were guys that won and against a bigger enemy.
Yeah.
All my favorite movies are like that. All my favorite movies weren't just about...
So you're saying you always support the bottom.
The the aggressive underdog support the bottom. If I was gay, I'd be a top.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure.
Because I'm like, it's better to give than
receive.
I like
that you're bowling it around in your head. You're like picturing it.
I'm just a very giving person.
Yeah, I know. But with that big hog, who wouldn't be, you know? You wouldn't deal that bad boy out.
I swear to God, I did not pay Lev to talk about me having a big hog.
What's it called? I was saying that the last time that...
Every woman is going to fucking rip on me so hard.
No, like, what are you talking about?
No, I don't mind. It's funny. Love you. It's funny. Now there's going to be this cloud of mystery around whether or not I have a baby dick.
No, he's this guy. I know, I've heard the stories, all right? This guy's fucking packing a 2x4. But I remember when we were talking, I wanted to touch on this a little bit because I know people email a lot of like going through breakups and also knowing when to break up.
Yeah.
And what for you was kind of like the final thing of being like, okay, I think I should be single now?
That's a good question because it's hard, man.
Yeah.
Like, especially for
me.
I'm going to go get some ice cubes.
A lot of quotables in this one.
A lot of scary bite-sized, like, we could turn this into like a gay porn.
Yeah.
Just from taking some bite-sized chunks out of this
you
pod.
Say butt-sized.
I said bite-sized.
You said butt-sized.
Which is just as bad.
Yeah.
It's tough, dude. It's really hard because for me now, like, especially because, I mean, I've dated for a long time. I've been around for a while. And it's like now when I can't be with a girl that isn't also my friend.
Right.
You know, that isn't someone that I give a shit about.
Oh, that's the only reason to be with a
girl. It's the only reason. Yeah. Like, for me, the way that I had an old guy in Sweden tell me, here's how you know when you meet Mrs. Right.
He said, Tama, you suck dick so well.
Why? You turn him into an Indian?
No, that was my Swedish impression. It's not well.
Your Swedish meatballs taste like samosas.
Yeah. Whoops.
No, but he said this cool thing. It was really simple and really cool. And he said, first things first, acknowledge that you're a man and you're kind of an animal.
Yeah.
And we all are animals. And you have to look at this woman and be like, oh my God, every time I see her, I want to ravage her.
Yeah.
You have to be physically incredibly attracted to her.
Yeah.
And after that, then you have to say to yourself, if this girl was a guy, would I still hang out with her?
Right.
Remove the sexuality. And if there's still an attraction and you have those two things, it's that easy, man.
I think that's all that matters. Do you enjoy, do you love being around them? Are you crazy about them physically?
And when those things fracture, That's when breakups are hard.
Yeah.
When I love this person as a friend, but the chemistry has been broken.
Right.
And the sex isn't there.
A lot of times that's sexual attraction. Like, it just, once you guys start really having problems,
yeah,
it just starts deflating like crazy and
totally.
It's gone.
Totally.
You know, I've had that a few times.
Isn't that weird? We figured out how to get to the moon, but when we talk about love, we'll just go, you just know when you know.
Yeah.
It's just chemistry.
Yeah. Well, that's how they built the NASA fucking ships too.
Could you imagine if scientists work like that?
Yeah, they're like, we were like, how many miles are you? Like, well, you'll feel it. Yeah. You'll feel it.
Is it safe to step onto the moon? You'll know.
Yeah, just,
you'll just know.
Dip a
follow your gut. Yeah. Follow your heart.
Should we? Are we doing permission to land? Yeah, follow your heart. What do you hear?
One giant risk for man.
Yeah, one huge bump on your cock.
Yeah, it's weird that we do that with love, but I think it's kind of cool that there is like this
so intuitive
thing that we can't tame love.
Yeah.
You can't put a saddle on love. It's cool like
I've
that.
I've tried.
It's an animal that we can't put in a zoo. Yeah, I've tried.
Put a saddle on it.
I think that's rad. I think it's cool that we can't put, like, love is like Bigfoot.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's this mysterious, blurry creature. You're so Quentin Tarantino right now. Oh, it's so gross. Dude, every one of his movies, he's got this. Did you see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
I want to watch it again, man.
Dude, that scene where she puts her foot on the windshield.
Yeah.
It's just, it was almost disruptive.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's not the movie anymore. I pictured Quentin Tarantino going, let's do that one again.
Yeah,
let's do
that
again. Let's do that again. He's so
one more
creepy.
Time. Yeah. Well, I also think that was his like kind of laughing nod to the audience of being like, yeah, I fucking love feet.
It could some self-deprecating humor.
Yeah. I don't get the feet thing. To me, they're just like dumb hands.
I think it's a powerful man thing.
Really?
And like
oh, because your feet are like dirty. They touch the ground.
Feet are dirty. They step on you. It's almost like a woman who's a CEO loves to be dominated.
Yeah.
Or a guy that's a CEO likes a woman that takes charge.
Right.
I think being number one in your field is exhausting.
I can only come if I'm dressed as a female CEO.
I'm totally picturing you in a Hillary Clinton-esque pantsuit right now with giant buttons.
Yeah, just fake tits popping out. Dominate me, Greg.
Oh, I think
you Hillary's, know I killed Epstein, right?
I think Hillary's all natural.
Yeah, I mean
the boobs.
Yeah, I don't even want to think about that.
How could you not?
Donald Trump won because he has better tits.
He does have pretty good boobs.
But yeah, what was like the? But for you, it's sounding like that one of those things started to waver and like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's really tough. You know, I've been through breakups where I still adore the person as a friend.
That's usually really how it is for me.
Yeah,
it's
me
like
too.
After the breakup, I'm still like, no, I still see what I saw in you. I still am always gonna love that about you.
And I think it's harder for me than for a lot of people. I think I struggle with it more than most people because I was an only child. And for me, my friends are like my family.
Yeah.
Like, I've had my own family kind of reject me because my parents were mixed religion.
Yeah.
So I have family members that reject me, but I had friends that were there for me when I thought they would.
Right.
So for me, my chosen family is my family.
Yeah.
And so when I live with a girl or I have a relationship with a girl and she becomes someone that I really genuinely care about, she's my family.
Yeah.
And I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Into incest, huh?
That's creepy.
Yeah,
you're
like
right.
A
that
sister
does make it
to
so
me.
Much more gross. That's so much more gross.
Yeah, girlfriend. That's
distant
my sister.
Family, distant
yeah.
family. But it is. It's hard, dude. It's hard. You don't want to hurt.
She get like promoted as she gets more trusted. You're like, oh, now you might be first cousin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird, dude. It's also weird because
I love that you're always making these beautiful, eloquent, wise points, and I'm just like, so did you come in your sister?
It's just perfect.
I'm just
I like
such
it.
An idiot.
No, you're not, dude. I think it's you add levity.
Levity. Okay. Did we just touch dicks?
We did. Just the tips.
Yeah. So let me ask you this.
Huh?
What are your tips and tricks for surviving the breakup, for getting through it? Because I always tell people, listen to music, start. And you also know when somebody's going through it, we were talking about this, is like, if it was a rough breakup, she's doing yoga.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, that's funny. It's so, or she's getting deep into yoga.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yoga is the dye my hair and get bangs of jobs after a breakup.
If she became a yoga instructor, run.
Yeah.
Yeah, something's up.
You know, I think breakups,
We're kidding. I know, but we got to get these fucking yoga emails of like, totally. Actually, you asshole, it's a great core exercise and I love the smells. It's hardwood. Try fucking wiping down your own mat, you piece of shit.
You know what's funny about downward facing dog? All dogs are downward facing.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a dog that's an upward facing dogs? Dog? It's like a poltergeist. It's like a dog with its head backwards.
Yeah.
That's creepy.
Did you ever hear Mitch Hedberg? He's got the best one-liner about dogs where he's like, dogs are always in the push-up position.
It's true.
So funny.
That's hilarious. Dogs are always planking.
Yeah. But yeah, so what are your tips on getting through the breakup?
Dude, I think the reason why breakups are hard for me personally, and I think for a lot of people who love the other person, is it feels selfish. It's counterintuitive. It's like being on the airplane when you put the oxygen mask on you before you put the oxygen mask on this other person that you care about.
Yeah.
But if you don't take care of you, you can't take care of somebody else. If you don't take care of you, you can't love someone else. And that's the thing that's amazing about love, is even if you care about this person and you love this person, if you yourself aren't feeling loved, then you can't make that person feel loved.
Yeah.
I think that's the magic of love, but it's also the burden of it. You know, and it's a bummer sometimes when you don't want to hurt another person, but you know that your light's been dimmed.
Yeah.
You're not fully happy. You're not fully trusting. You're not fully there. And we're here for such a short time, man. Like, we're all in a car driving off a cliff. We don't even know why we're here. But I know we're not here to be miserable.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be as happy as I can. I want to chase difficult dreams. I want to be a good person. I don't want to be a bad person.
Yeah.
But like, sometimes shit just breaks, and when it breaks, you can't put it back together, and it's better to move on and have. It's scary. It's scary to break. I think it takes some courage to break up, and I think that people forget that it is courageous to break up. But yeah, man, it's better for both people at the end of the day, because everybody deserves to be loved fully.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I love that. I don't know why we're here, but we're not here to be miserable.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Exactly. And we're not here to hate each other either. It's like no one ever got PTSD from hugging too much.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, like clearly, you haven't met my uncle.
Dude, I used to always joke that like you could tell I had a bad dad, because whenever I hug somebody, I always let go last.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny. I said this crazy thing in Boston. I can't remember what the exact line was, but I think on my live podcast, mm-hmm. Hannah Berner, I was talking about like choking or something during sex, and Hannah was like, she was like, I feel like most girls like choking during sex. I'm like, it depends on how their dads were. It's like,
yeah.
And it got this like very delayed but big pop, because we were like, yeah, that's pretty fucking true.
It's so true, dude. Yeah. And then my dad issues come up too. Like one time, this girl's like, choke me. And I'm like, tell me you're proud of me. So she's like, I'm proud of you.
You're both just getting what you need.
And we came at the same time.
Yeah. That's dad. Let's jump into some fan emails here. This first one's called Advice on Threesomes. Okay, we'll keep it spicy. Hey, Lev. That was my Swedish accent. I emailed you.
Your Swedish accent is garbage.
I am a Swedish man. This is how I talk. I'm a Swedish man.
That is so not a Swedish man. It's so hard to do a Swedish accent. It's very sing-songy. He to be Dishbergen, Bergen. It's like that.
God.
Well, I can speak Swedish, but it's very sing-songy.
Yeah.
So I went to college in Sweden, so I actually speak Swedish. But it's very sing-songy. It's very up-down.
I don't like those kind of white people that wear clogs and stuff. They're just so goofy.
Yeah.
Like Germans. Like, there's always this weird sexuality to German men.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you like this over here? Like, it's just, I don't like it. It weirds me out. Because I always feel like Germans, like, they're these ripped guys, and they're, like, strong and very masculine. But then, like, you know they're wearing, like, a neon banana hammock underneath everything. It just rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah, I think there's two things I think of Germans. I think of black socks and sandals, which is the height of nerdity, and then super sexually deviant.
Yeah.
And I think Germans are like the Japanese of white people.
Yeah.
In the sense that they're so rigid, but they're so dirty. And I think that's something to be said
for
humanity. The more you try to restrict us, the more deviant we become.
Yeah.
It's not good to not, we're not made to have saddles on us.
Yeah.
You know?
You know? I just always picture German guys like, won't you like the dinner? And you know, just these fucking creeps.
But German women, though, are so sexy. I think German men are not.
I'm not into German women.
Really?
Yeah.
They don't love you back. That's the only downside.
I'm not into like German or Irish women.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do you think that?
Well, you hear him tap dancing over, you know, just breaking.
River dancing.
I got wood floors here. I can't have it fucking scratching up my shit.
Oh, that's funny.
Hey, you want another? No, what's an Irish accent?
There it is.
That's the way we talk, but that's how Irish women sound.
Irish women are freaking hot, especially Irish women in Dublin. The OG Irish women, they're so cute.
They can take a punch.
And they're tough women, too.
That's what I was just saying. Yeah,
they can give a punch, too.
Yeah, they're fucking around Conor McGregor and shit, just
totally
fucking...
Totally, dude.
Hitting heavy bags.
Irish women are tough, tough, tough women.
Yeah. Cold cultures, man.
And I think Irish women dominate the genders in Ireland.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think men in Ireland really respect tough Irish women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. There was even a show called Love Island, right?
They asked me to do that show.
No way.
Yeah.
It's in the UK, that's a huge show.
I know. They asked me to do the American one, and I said no.
Yeah, it's probably a good choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're doing way cooler stuff.
Yeah.
But in Love Island, the woman that won was an Irish woman.
Yeah.
In the most recent European one, it was an Irish woman.
I feel like when I think of an Irish woman, I think of a woman with strong feet.
Strong feet?
Yeah, like she knows how to press wine and shit. You know what I mean?
Is this another river dance reference?
Yeah, like that's my thing. Because I realize with Irish women, I picture red hair and strong feet.
Oh my god, dude! Okay, we gotta go to Ireland together, so you can expand the Irish references.
I'm just staring at feet the entire
time.
They're
all feet-based references.
I don't know shit about Irish people. I know you guys aren't great with managing your potatoes. I heard about that big famine.
Well, it's the English people that. It was their fault for starving the Irish.
That's a very funny way to word the Irish potato famine. It's like, hey, you're not good with management. We're kidding. Anyways, it's threesome email. Hey, Lev. My name is... She says feel free to use my name, but I don't want to use it. I'm 22 and a new listener of the pod. Getting right to it, here's my dilemma. My boyfriend, 23 years old, and I have been on and off for almost 4 years now. And for the longest time, I've been dying for us to have a female-female-male threesome with another girl. My boyfriend isn't super sexually adventurous, and since this is my idea, that means what guy isn't adventurous enough to fuck two women?
They've been together since they were 18.
Yeah, getting blown by two women was one of the greatest things that ever happened to me.
Well, I can imagine. Yeah, that's
it was the only way they were going to get me out of that Kmart. That means that if I really want it, then I have to be the one to make it happen. He's down to try it, but really isn't the type of guy to initiate that sort of thing. Over the years, I've hooked up with a decent amount of girls when I've been out drunk at bars/concerts, so that's not really the issue. The problem is that I don't know how to actually initiate a threesome. Do I straight up ask a girl if she's interested, or is that super creep? I'm also kind of shy when it comes to putting myself out there like that and would be so sad and embarrassed if I got rejected, LOL. Well, first of all, you need to work on getting fucking thicker skin. You need to be more like an Irish gal. You know?
Yeah, man.
Everybody,
it's so funny that this question is coming right after we're talking about the courage it takes to break up.
Yeah.
And knowing when you should break up. She's 22 and she's had a 4-year long relationship.
Well, I don't know if they necessarily need to break up, but I
don't know yet either, but it sounds like she wants some sexual freedom.
Yeah, well,
and they're starting to see differences in themselves.
Well, she said that he's down, but
dude,
he's just not the type to
22,
initiate.
It's too young to be in a 4-year relationship.
Look, she's emailing about a threesome. We can just talk them into breaking up right now.
All right, okay. But I'm just saying, it's really young to be in a relationship for 4 years.
Of course, of course.
She's got different
whatever. Maybe they'll
fantasies.
Maybe they'll end up together.
Maybe.
You know. She goes, any advice you got would be greatly appreciated. Your girl just wants to take a hottie home to bang with my guy. Thanks, Dad, for the endless laughs and for just being your sexy self. Here's a... Yeah, there's a nude of them together, but...
What?
But it's like... The sizing is fucked up. You can't really see anything. But yeah, two hot people.
And the guy was in the nude picture?
Her guy looks a little gay, doesn't he? He's got that. He's got theater face.
Oh wow, he does have theater face.
Right, like sometimes you see it where that he's like his smile is like too white. You know, where you're like, oh, that guy started using whitening strips at 15. Something's up.
Yeah, what a trip. No, well, this other picture, he's flipping off the camera. And he looks more like a more like a dude.
Oh yeah,
like
he looks
bro,
like a fucking douchebag.
He's
grabbing her ass while flipping off the camera. In a white Under Armour sock.
Yeah.
Dude, black Nike sock all the fucking way. All right? Get it right. There's two options. You can either be like super upfront and just like ask around the girlfriends that you already know and go, hey, do you want to join me in fucking my guy and having a great ass night? Yeah. Or what you could do is find a girl that you know is into guys and girls and finds you both attractive, or like go out to a bar together, start chatting up another girl. And that there's always that feeling before a threesome happens where the three of you are all getting along very well. And it's in the back of everyone's head.
Yeah.
Everyone's feeling it like, oh, shit, I think we're all having sex tonight.
Here's what I think too. I think in a threesome, especially a female-female-male threesome,
yeah,
the most complex dynamic is the female-to-female part.
Yes.
So I think 100%. she doesn't need to go in and try to get someone that fits in with both. He's easy.
Yeah.
He's going to be easy. She needs to find a girl that she clicks with.
Yeah.
And that's the way she should approach it. If they're meant to last, if they're meant to be, and I think the only thing holding her back right now is her boyfriend, who's not as sexually adventurous as she is, or he's not as down. Maybe he's worried because threesomes do end a lot of relationships. You know what I mean? If she's down to do female, female, male, and she wants to be experimental and he feels comfortable with it. I mean, a lot of times we tell women, or women say, if she's not comfortable, then don't do it.
Right.
But we don't do the same for guys. Right now, it doesn't seem like that cat's comfortable.
Well, he says he's down, but he's not the type to initiate.
Okay, then he does, and he should. Then he shouldn't.
Yeah,
he should be out of it. A girl should look at her and be like, "I'm into you. You're into me." And
well,
then
I think
the
he should be there so that the girl can like the other girl can see what she's working with. You don't.
Yeah, he,
you don't
she
have
needs
to be
to
a
meet
mystery
him at
guy.
Some point.
Yeah,
she definitely needs to meet him.
But you know
before.
That energy I'm talking about, like right when you're like you're hanging out with two gals, or like, and that feeling is there of like. I think we're all pretty sure we're all hooking up. Mm. I feel like as soon as that feeling's there, like 90% of the time, that's how your night's going to end.
Yeah.
It's just once that feel, you just have to get the conversation you're having with this other person to that place. And then once you're at the bar, the move is you guys all have to make out together.
Yeah.
That's how it starts.
See, but what you're describing is more emotionally complex. It's more female because females are more feelers and men are more thinkers. And that's not an insult, by the way. It's just wiring,
but
right?
But I think sex is so much more about feeling in general.
Sure.
Right?
And even that energy that you're talking about where you know this is going to lead to something sexual, you feel that energy.
Yeah.
Right? You feel that. And I think men sometimes would be like, hey, what's happening, guy? And then they try to put it in words, and then they fuck up the energy.
Yeah, you don't do that.
Don't do that.
Yeah, don't be like, are we having a threesome? Just fucking feel it out. Just feel your way through it.
And we've been taught to not feel, not have emotion. So it's like, let the women do what women do. Let them define the feelings. Let them tell you what's going on. And then, you know, if the chick's into a chick, she's usually into the guy that the chick's into, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think there's also an app for threesomes out there.
Is there?
I
think you're
Thrinder
right.
Thrinder or some shit.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I've heard of it.
For
somebody
to, that's also one way. I would say, though, the best way to do it is ask around girls that you already know that are bi and be like, yeah, me and whatever the fuck want to have a threesome. Yeah, it's this guy flipping off this camera. All right, don't judge him on this, but, you know, he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
And you see if you could do it that way. You always want to start local. I think that's way easier.
Yeah.
Almost every threesome I've had is, what has it been like? How many has it been? Three or four. But every one of them, the two, you know, we're living hard. And every one of them, the girls were either like best friends or friends, and they knew each other.
Yeah.
That's always the easiest way to do it.
Yeah. It happened to me in college, and it was a trip. Two times it's happened for me. Both times it was... It started out in a way that I didn't expect. It was more like we were all just hanging out, drinking and talking about and having like kind of a deep conversation.
Wait, hang on a second. Clementine, where are you?
I think she was just on. Did she?
Was she in my room?
No.
Oh no, she's right there under your foot. Never mind.
She's sleeping under my.
Okay.
Under my
Sorry,
leg.
You were saying?
No. Both times with me, it happened in kind of a completely unexpected way.
Yeah.
Where laughter was the ultimate lubricant. You know, maybe because I'm a
comic. It always is.
But it always is because laughter makes you feel. Relax. It makes you feel safe.
Yeah, I'm like, put it in my ass.
I think when a woman laughs, it's to me, it's like her saying, I feel safe. I feel really safe. And I think that's an important part of a threesome is if everybody feels super safe.
Everybody needs to feel comfortable, needs to feel relaxed, need to know it's not competitive.
Yeah.
And also, hey, if it's not working, we can just stop, you know?
And there's clubs, too, especially in places like New York and L.A. There's clubs.
Yeah.
There's, like, swinger clubs. There's, like, you know, places where you can go and do boyfriend, girlfriend, wife swapping and mate swapping and shit.
Yeah.
And that could turn into a threesome, too, because there's a lot of single girls that go to stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's out there now. I mean, especially with the internet, you can find people that have similar interests pretty easily.
Yeah, I know like single chicks who like want to fuck a couple.
Yeah, exactly.
So shouldn't be that hard. And also, like, you're 22. Ask around. You know somebody that'll jump in.
Totally.
Let's do this last email. Hello, Daddy. I've been hooking up with this guy for about a month now. I dated a guy from his frat, but he graduated. And I kind of rebounded with this new guy after a night at the bar, after having small interactions with him throughout college, but never hanging out or anything. We have great sex, and every time we hook up, he tells me how hot I am and how amazing the sex is, but it's super casual. I even went as far as to tell him I don't want anything and just like to fuck after the first couple of times of hooking up. We usually just end up going home with each other every other weekend, sometimes several times a week, but we legitimately don't hang out other than smoking and fucking, but we get along well. I don't want anything serious with him, but I don't want him to like me and something a little more exciting than brainless fucking because I'm more attracted to him. Wait. But I don't want him to like me in something a little more exciting because I'm more attracted to him than any other guy I've dated / fucked. How can really good sex lead to something a little more?
Oh my God. That's a delicate. See, she's trying to thread the needle.
I don't want to date him, but I want something a little more than just sex. So she wants to like hang out. She goes, how can I made sure to let him know I'm just a fuck and that's all he is to me, too. So can I transition out of that? Is there a chance he may be interested if we consistently fuck but aren't exclusive?
I think her body's transitioned out of it, but her brain is not letting her.
Yeah.
I think she's scared. She's starting to have feelings for this guy, and she's scared. So she's saying, it's just physical. It's just physical, but I want to hang out with him. Well, guess what? If you want to hang out with him, then it's not just physical anymore.
I agree.
And it's with him saying, hey, I think you're super hot. Sex is really hot. Maybe he's open to it too. Maybe both you guys are scared. Just be honest. Like, you're naked with him with your clothes. Now be naked with him with your feelings.
Ooh.
That, boom, dude.
Boom,
yeah,
bitch.
Buddy. It's as if we're stoned.
Yeah.
That shit was deep.
But here's the thing. What if she slow plays it and just does this? What if after they fuck, don't rush to get dressed? Just fucking chill out.
Yeah.
Chill out together. See how that goes.
100%.
Start talking. Go, hey, how's your mother? You know,
how's your mother?
Shit like
of
that.
All the things
small talk.
Say.
That's what I. Every time I come, a woman asks me how my mother is.
Oh my God, small talk.
Hey, how's your mother?
The effect it would have on my wiener.
Yeah,
it would. That's a shrivel conversation.
Just as a woman's wiping cum off her face
right after sex.
Yeah. How's she doing? Yeah.
That's cool though. That's a good problem.
But do you think that's the move?
Yeah, I think that's. I think you could play it a lot of different ways, but I think you could either. I think the move is honesty. And the speed that you drive with that honesty is up to you. You could do it slow. You could do it quick and just rip the bandaid off and just be like, you know, put all the chips in.
Yeah.
And be like, let's gamble.
Yeah.
I kind of like gambling sometimes.
Yeah.
I hate maybe so much that I'd rather have a no than a maybe.
I'm the same way.
So I'm like, hey, look, this is how I feel. Yes or no.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I hate maybe so much.
Right.
It clogs my
brain. And she says no, we walk out like Rocky Balboa, just all upset, shoulders shrugged, or walking weird. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like,
at least I took a shot on love.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You can't fire me. I quit.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, folks, that was the episode. Make sure you follow Tamer Cat on Instagram, on the social media. One of my absolute best friends. Hilarious.
Thanks,
comedian.
You are too. You're like my brother.
Yeah, fucking for sure, man.
Tamer Cat with a K. TAMERKAT.
Yeah, follow your boy. He's definitely going to be on an upcoming Left Fern Friends in the City, so come on out.
Can't wait.
And take a second. Leave a 5-star rating on iTunes. As always, if you want an extra episode every week, join the fucking Patreon family, baby. Patreon.com/LevFur, or you can just download the Patreon app. You get an extra episode every single Thursday. There's live podcast episodes up there, bunch of huge guest episodes. So go fucking subscribe. Be a part of the gang.
And let me tell you something about for the people that do subscribe via Patreon. There's a lot of people that have Patreons. There's a lot of people that have podcasts, but there's not a lot of people that work as hard as you do.
Oh, thanks,
man. I'm really proud of you. And I think like everybody that supports you, like, They're supporting a really great thing. You're doing a great thing. You're making big moves really quickly. Some great stuff is happening for you because you fucking earned it, dude.
Oh, thanks, man.
So
I'm
really fucking proud of you. I'm as much of a fan as I am like a brother.
Oh, shut
and,
up.
And dude, I swear, I'm not even intoxicated right now. Guys don't say stuff like this.
Well, that's what
you
think.
But I'm saying it to you. and it's not just because I have a huge hog. I'm saying this. I'm proud of you, and I think you're doing the people that do pay Patreon. I think you're doing them a good service. You don't take them for granted, and I don't think that's something you could say. So I'm saying it for you.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
I'm proud
man.
Of you.
I appreciate that. I love
sure.
you, dude.
Love you too.
Yeah. So fucking subscribe. You know, follow your boy, and that's it, man. Guys, I hope you have a fucking. Oh, I almost forgot. I decided if I'm going to start challenging the listeners to shit, I'm going to do it myself too. So listen, weight loss wise, we're down like 10, 11 pounds. I'll talk about it more on the Patreon. However, we got a fucking challenge this week. I'm always telling people to get out and go after what they want. So I'm setting a thing. By the end of this week, by the time Sunday morning hits, you have to have approached somebody somewhere and asked them out, either for their number or something. I never do this. I'm going to actually do it this weekend.
Right on.
I'm
going
to ask somebody for their number. You know, I might even not be interested. I might just need the one on paper, you know? But that's going to be the fucking challenge of the week. We got to get better with putting ourselves out there, taking a risk. And if somebody turns you down, be like, all right, cool. Yeah, whatever.
Just be like, oh, like if you go to this girl and go, what's your number? She's like, I'm not giving you my number. I go, oh, I meant how much do you weigh?
I'm down 10 pounds.
I'm not giving you my phone number. Oh, I meant your weight.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's fucking do this. This is for everybody. Guys, girls, fucking ask somebody out. Get a phone number by the end
of this
week.
Fuck yeah, man. I love that. I think that's cool.
Yeah, and other than that, I fucking love you guys. I'll see you on the Thursday episode. I'm sorry the episode was late. You know, we're doing our best over here. Got some shit going on. So other than that, I'll fucking see you guys soon, man. Cheers.
Peace. Thank you.